Thanks for listening to the Replatform podcast, sponsored by Hypersonics and Attract, and hosted by myself, James Girdle, called Rogers. Warm welcome if it's your first episode. Look, we put a lot of time and effort into creating this content. Please help us keep the podcast free to everyone. Refer us to other people in your network, you know, let them know we exist. Share our posts on LinkedIn and Twitter. Just help us get out to as many other people as possible. And also, really help if you rate us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, wherever else you listen. It boosts visibility. It would be very much appreciated. So let's set up our next episode. So the topic today is going to be migrating from open source, Magento, to Centra's headless SaaS platform and the journey that that involves. So Paul, do you want to set up and introduce our guest, and then we'll get cracking with the questions?
Yeah, absolutely. So Ed and I have known each other for quite a long time. I don't know how long, but at least kind of 5, 6, 7 years. And over that time, we spoke a lot about platforms. And over the last 6 months, we spoke a lot about Centra and some of the benefits that that has to offer and their kind of move into the UK market. And then recently, you know, Ed talked to me a bit about the Paul Smith kind of journey in migrating to Centra. So I asked Ed and Hannah to come on the podcast and talk a bit about their experience. So maybe Hannah, if you can give us a little bit of an intro initially, just to your role at Paul Smith, and then we'll start asking questions.
Hello. So I'm Hannah. I've worked at Paul Smith for about 15 years now. I'm currently head of digital here. So my background's purely e-com. I've kind of worked through every little bit of e-commerce, from the warehouse, fraud, returns, content, project management. So yeah, that's my background.
Lovely. And then Ed, if you can give us a bit of an intro as well.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, thanks for having us on the podcast. My name's Ed. I'm co-owner at Limesharp. So we are a creatively led digital agency that specializes in e-com. So pretty much full service. So, you know, we help brands with customer experience, design, development, integrations. We don't necessarily get involved with marketing. Obviously, we've got some great partners, if people like Vivant when it comes to marketing. But yeah, we work with brands to really kind of, we create in-store experiences, deliver really nice kind of customer experiences online. Typically, we've been a Magento agency for coming up to 13 years now. 2 to 3 years ago, we kind of started to diversify our offering, started bringing on new platforms. So working with Shopify Plus, BigCommerce over in New Zealand, and we've just started working with Centra, obviously, on the Paul Smith project, which is really exciting. I think that's me.
Great. Well, I'll ask the first question, and the first question is to you, Hannah. So I'd say Paul Smith is quite associated with Magento. So I actually worked at Paul Smith about 10 years ago after meeting one of your ex-colleagues in Vegas at the Magento conference. And I think you've always kind of, you know, had developers in-house, have been quite connected with the Magento ecosystem, etc. And obviously now you're making the move over to Centra. So maybe initially, if you could just talk us through kind of what impressed you around Centra and what made you make the move across.
Yeah, so we first heard of Centra last summer, I think it was. And at the time we were looking at an omnichannel piece, so how we can resolve this store inventory and really make the use of our shop stock. So we were speaking to OMS providers like Fluent and One Stock, Manhattan, and how we can move forward with that. And at the same time, I have in my kind of vision of the future that our Magento renewal is coming up, some of the restrictions I'm hearing through being able to do those kind of functionality, while also thinking what our development team means in-house. So like you say, we've been with Magento for, I think it's nearly 12 years now. And at one point we were really proud of this quite good size in-house development team that could build anything. We would just build it into the roadmap. And it got to this stage probably 2 or 3 years ago where we don't want to be building a loyalty software in-house or a CMS in-house. We need to be doing kind of best of breed and kind of plug and play with those providers. So with that, knowing that I don't want to build a multi-source inventory product, I want to just be able to plug that in and let the merchandisers worry about where the stock is, not the developers worrying about how that stock's going to integrate with the front end. So we spoke to Centra because I heard that they have that piece as part of their functionality. And I was, well, their first pitch was everything they don't do, which was really intriguing. But it might sound a bit corny, but just the people were really made such a big difference. Like, they actually paid an interest into Paul Smith, what our problems were, what we were trying to resolve. So that was the first kind of green light for me in terms of why Centra. And then as we would kind of continue talking to them, hearing about their localization, kind of a big tick for me. I'm always having to think about store views in Magento, and I was still trying to get my head around that view from store views to markets with Centra, but you kind of eyes light it when I don't have to worry about store views if I want a new currency or I want to do a new language. So that's something that's currently holding us back. So that was another big tick. And I think the kind of silver lining was for our B2B side of the business. So we've had a Magento B2B platform for about 4 years now, and I don't need to build a headless front end for that. They have Showroom as part of their product. As much as I advocate and love headless, I don't need it for B2B. So it was just like, okay, that's my timeline done. I can leave Magento with our time frame and still service that B2B side of the business. So that's kind of been the kind of three decision points that kind of tipped me over. So omnichannel, localization, and B2B. And then, yeah, the people, they're so great to work with. It sounds really corny, but I'm sure Ed will say the same. They're like genuinely interested.
Attract, your complete product discovery growth engine. Create relevant shopping experiences that convert into sales and grow online revenue with personalized search, merchandising, and recommendation solutions powered by AI. Find out more at attract.com.
Well, that's hugely important, though, isn't it? Because culturally, having a partner that you can work with makes it a lot easier when you experience the inevitable road bumps, because no project's ever 100% smooth. So that's really interesting. It'd be nice to hear, Ed, from your perspective. So as an agency partner, someone who's got a lot of experience building out on a specific platform and then making that shift, that can have lots of different impacts in terms of like resourcing, adjustment, different project approaches. What's impressed you the most about Centra, I guess, from a delivery point of view?
Well, I mean, we sort of gone down the headless route as an agency probably about 4 or 5 years ago now. So when Magento 2 was released, we weren't sort of overly impressed with the front end architecture of what we could actually deliver with a default Magento front end. We were seeing a lot of really nice sort of creatively led e-com stores, really well designed headless Shopify projects that were coming out. And we were trying to achieve similar, if not better. And we were really kind of held back by that kind of front end of Magento. So we kind of went down the route of, okay, well, we're still kind of Magento developers at heart. We know the product inside out. Let's build out our own headless front end. And I think at the time, Magento was really pushing the kind of PWA aspects of their platform of, you know, we are PWA first. So we went down a slightly different path. We looked at their own offering. We didn't feel that it ticked all of the boxes that we need. So we thought, okay, well, let's just build our own headless front end, which was a great decision in hindsight, and having full autonomy over our own front end. It was a real challenge, especially for the first one. But I think once we got past all of those learnings and hurdles, that put us in a really good position to be able to deliver the sites that we wanted to be able to deliver. So if you look at some of our brands, people like M&M, Joe Loves, GF Smith, they've all got our kind of headless front end on them. I think that's one of the reasons that attracted Paul Smith to working with Limesharp. So I think initially had a guy contact to sort of celebrate 50 years of Paul Smith. They wanted a full sort of digital transformation of the front end, really. It was like a celebration of 50 years of the brand, UX, UI, complete overhaul of the digital experience online. And having that kind of headless experience was another kind of, I suppose, tick on Hadda's box of, okay, well, this agency can deliver on the design side, but they can also help with our kind of headless implementation. I think in the early days, Hadda, you were looking at a fully kind of in-house front-end team for that to be able to build that project out. Didn't go to plan. I had a kind of panicky phone call from Hannah a couple of months into once we delivered on the design side, which was kind of a 6 or 9 month project, and the builders started, like, I think we were 2 months in, and Hannah just said, are we really struggling to get through the amount of work? We've got a lot of headaches. Can you come aboard to help deliver that? So we took on a lot of the real kind of key headless parts of the site. So put on a listing page, put a description page. I just kind of gave a lot of kind of consulting advice to Hannah's team on how to do certain things like going headless. There's a lot of things that are very different. So things like, you know, tracking, stuff. It's a minefield, especially for your first one. So it was quite good that we were able to take all of those learnings that we had on Magento and sort of be able to help out on that Paul Smith project from a consultancy side. But that really kind of, I suppose, a lot of the headaches we have with Magento is mainly around performance. And that's well-known facts from Magento 1 to Magento 2. It's like, you know, that's the biggest bugbearer. So we had to do a hell of a lot of custom sort of caching and custom sort of cache architecture for Magento. So obviously it has, without getting too technical on the call, it's got like GraphQL as its API, but you can't query that directly from the front end because it's too slow. So if you're trying to get things like stock and price, you're looking at sort of 20 to 30 seconds to, you know, pull down 20 products onto a product listing page. So we know a customer's not going to wait that long. So we've had to build out huge kind of caching processes and that has a lot of kind of complexities. So as an agency, we're all about wanting to, you know, add that value for the customer, be able to deliver front end features for our brand. And so we're thinking, you know, if we can kind of take away a lot of that development time and all of those headaches, we're able to get product and price and stock to the end user quicker. You know, what can we do? So we started kind of researching and looking at dedicated headless API first e-com platforms. So as an agency, we did a full kind of platform analysis over a kind of 3 to 4 month period and actually didn't come across Centra. it was a random introduction from Paul actually, and said that LimeSharp are really strong in sort of headless and work with fashion and beauty brands, lifestyle brands, that is very kind of similar to who Centra like to work with and who their platform's been designed for. So the fit was really good. We went out and had a coffee together, and the initial conversations was great. You know, I went in there all guns blazing around performance specifically. How can we solve our performance problems? You know, you can query our API and it's going to take you 50 to 100 milliseconds. You can even do that real time from the front end if you want, which kind of blew my mind. And like, okay, well, let's continue the conversations. And then when we started to really dig a lot deeper on the product itself, we were really impressed. I've always felt that Magento's strength has always been in multi-store internationalization. I still think it's one of the strongest platforms when it comes to multi-store architecture. But as soon as I saw how kind of Centra did it with their APIs and how they handle markets and internationalization, I was just, again, like really, really impressed. I think it's a huge strength of that platform. And has actually got us thinking about how to do a lot of things completely differently to working, you know, with Centra. I think one of the points that they make is, you know, if you're a really successful brand in Sweden within the first year, you're already going to be looking to go international and to be able to sell your products into different countries. So for them, having that markets or internationalization, however you want to call it, as a core part of their product offering from design, I think, you know, really critical, because a lot of the really strong products that we work with, things like Shopify Plus, BigCommerce, all these other platforms, it's almost like they get all of the core e-commerce functionality right first. And then they think, okay, well, how can we bring in international markets to it? And it's almost like re-architecturing, changing things. You know how long it took Shopify to bring that into their platform. Whereas I think having it baked into Centra as a core part of the design, I think, yeah, is huge. So that was a big win for us. And again, what Hannah was saying, just on the people front, you know, they've treated us really well over the last kind of year. We've built up a really solid relationship with them and given us really all kind of full confidence in being able to, you know, shift our thinking from working with other platforms and being able to deliver a big project like Paul Smith. I think we're really lucky that we're going into this as like a joint venture together. So that this kind of relationship is working really well for our kind of first central project. And as an agency, we're really grateful to be able to be a part of it, really.
Hypersonix helps e-commerce companies make more profit every day.
This AI-driven platform delivers recommendations for pricing and inventory that lead to bigger profits. Visit hypersonics.ai/podcast to get a free trial.
Right, and we'll come back to the kind of developer side of working to Centra in a second. But first, Hannah, so what does your tech stack look like currently on the kind of existing Magento store? And are you looking at making any other changes as part of the move to Centra?
So I guess a lot of our kind of tech stack was discussed as the headless move we did. Was it a year ago now? I think we've had our 1 year anniversary.
March, wasn't it?
March, yeah. So that was the biggest opportunity in terms of the tech stack. So historically, we were Magento, going back to everything being done in-house. We had an inbuilt CMS. We were quite, focused in that sense. And then when we moved to headless, I think that's where it was like, we are not a CMS company. Let's go to market. And I guess that's where a lot of the benefits were. The freedom that we created from headless and the designs that Limeshark were doing for us, that's where we looked at Storyblock. So we did a Storyblock migration as part of headless. Really happy with those. And now it's going into that phase of what Centra and Storyblock looks like compared to Magento and Storyblock, which is really interesting. We also use Klaviyo for search, merch, and now recommendations. We've seen some really nice kind of changes there in usage that we can do on that product. So a lot of the work that we did with Limeshark and Ed and the team trying to pull out all the kind of amazing brand content that we have and pulling that story content further up the funnel to customers, we're now doing that within our search. So that was done as part of the headless move as well. It is now that more kind of plug and play. So it keeps companies like Klaviyo to be top of their game of pushing their product for us, because we have now that flexibility to move around as such. But so far, so good. We also have Cloudinary as our DAM. So we did that move as part of our B2B project. So that was luckily 2019, just before the pandemic hit. And that allows us to run a B2B site with no content team effectively. And we've just gone from strength to strength with Cloudinary and their capabilities. Looking forward to stretching that product more, I would say, rather than changing. So again, I'm not that technical, but in how imagery is kind of served and passed through, getting rid of the caching layers that we have, bulking things up will be really good. And then it's just kind of Adyen and the usual players. So Magento is enough for us rather than just doing kind of the more. And I think that kind of I'm happy in the order that we've done this and going headless first and then doing the platform afterwards. It's such an engine that you don't want to be changing, all the wheels and mirrors at the same time.
Right. And I think a number of those third parties are kind of within that core Centra ecosystem, like the Storyblocks and Klaviyos and Cloudinaries anyway. So it feels like that's a good starting point. And I guess, Ed, coming back to that developer point, so you've obviously got, 25, 30 developers. How have they found working with Centra? Like, I know a lot of them will be coming from a Magento background. Like, how have they found it in terms of flexibility for both headless and just generally?
I think despite the fact we've worked with Magento for a long time, we've been working with APIs, especially on the front end side for, coming up to 5 years now. So they're really well versed with how to interact with APIs, how to consume information, data. From a developer's perspective, the lucky ones that are working on Paul Smith and coming to the office, and they're absolutely buzzing. The feedback I've had from them is really positive. They've definitely had to change their mindset of, again, what we were talking about before, of being able to, with Magento's GraphQL API, you're actually able to deploy apps or extensions to stitch additional data into GraphQL. So, deploying into the platform to be able to expose more information. Whereas with Centra, it's API as a service, so you're not able to do that. So they have to figure out workarounds for that, which has been sort of challenges, but there's no kind of roadblocks or issues with that. So it's just a really kind of change of mentality and change of thinking for us. The documentation is really, really good, really clear. And as a kind of pro-Centra partner, We've got a dedicated Slack channel where, you know, we can ask a technical question or the developers can ask a technical question and we get a response within 1 to 2 minutes. So no one's ever kind of sat there thinking, oh, how are we going to approach this? Or, you know, how are we going to do this integration, whatever it is? We've always got that support and help there, which I think is really kind of beneficial for us. We all went over to Stockholm together for a project kickoff and took the sort of lead developers over there. And, you know, we're having technical tracks with the people that build the platform. So, you know, anything that they can figure out together, you know, was never going to get solved. So I think, you know, from that people perspective with the platform, they've been really supportive of our technical team.
I'd echo that, proud team. I think they're all enjoying the challenge as well, like the creative thinking. I think we're lucky in this hybrid team that we've got, right? That they want to problem solve and they want to do those edge cases and how can we work with the code and still make it as optimized as possible.
I'd love to hear, Hannah, from your point of view. Obviously, moving to new technology brings change, and there's always complexity when you do migrations. Love to hear and get some balance with all of the good that comes. What were the key challenges or complexities you've encountered? You know, is it around the whole omnichannel piece, or is it other parts of the migration that have been more challenging?
I guess in terms of bigger picture, so the headless move was that customer change. So I can cope with customer change. That's easy. It's the business logic. So let's say we've been Magento so long, we've kind of built ourselves into a corner. It's been so bespoke to Paul Smith. So really kind of back to the drawing board, writing out our flows of how process A gets from each end. And then I'm really questioning that. So why are we doing that? Does it need to be that? What's changed? What's coming? So we've had to unpick kind of 12 years worth of Magento code, basically, and what are we doing? What are we trying to achieve as a business? So that's been hard. I wish our developers of the past were better at documentation, I would say. So that's a new KPI for us, is to keep documentation at 100%. And it is that, you know, that change for the business. We've, for example, in Magento, built a whole TMS solution, transport management solution. So courier integrations, that was one of the biggest kind of parts of this project, is how are we going to keep the warehouse moving? Because I won't get a customer at my desk going, why doesn't this work? But I will get the warehouse manager at my desk of, why isn't this working? So trying to reassure the business about change and making sure we're getting the kind of the groundwork in early in terms of why we're changing and what it needs to be. Yeah, that's probably the biggest challenge that we're going through.
Yeah, it's really interesting you pull that out, because we were having a conversation the other day and somebody mentioned, it was with the gym group, and they mentioned process debt, that everyone focuses on technical debt, and I'm picking that, but not enough focus on the process debt where you replicate inefficiency, because that's the way we do it. So yeah, I think that's really good advice to people as well, is really questioning, do we really need to do things this way? It's amazing, isn't it, how we all, whatever businesses we work in, end up with some sort of compromise, and we don't want to replicate that. I guess, Ed, from your point of view, having had many years of experience building in Magento and therefore, you know, building workarounds, customizations, was there anything that has made migration more complex for you from a development perspective in terms of that unpicking piece?
I mean, Paul Smith, we've got some amazing customer features. So, you know, you're able to pick your own socks and build your own like sock bundle, essentially, or, you know, you're able to monogram a wallet, and you're able to see a preview of the wallet and how the monogram looks. And all of this has been code that was built years ago, pre our time. There's some in-house knowledge at Paul Smith. Obviously, you've got very strong technical team there who can say, okay, well, this is how it's been built. But I think it kind of goes back to that point you're just making of unpicking the way things have been done and going, okay, is this going to work on Centra? Yes or no? And do we have to do it exactly the same way? Yes or no? And kind of making decisions like that. A really good example of that came up recently onto that point you were making before is around kind of gift cards. So you used an external gift card company so that you can do the kind of full in-store online gift cards, as you'd expect from a brand like Paul Smith. And we were really struggling on how to figure out the best way to do gift cards. And you build something very custom into Magento where you can do balance checks and there's an integration with a third party. And we were kind of all scratching our heads in one of the meetings. I mean, like, I think someone Googled like SVS with Adyen of like, and they've already got an integration with that gift card company. So like, okay, well, we can do all the balance checks and we can do the payment through there. So I think, you know, you really just need to go back a few steps and almost not rebuild something from scratch, but really think about, do we need to be doing this and how can we change it? But yeah, there's definitely, Paul Smith's not just a regular fashion company with a very limited set of products. So essentially a brand departmental store. You know, they've got art, they've got rugs, they've got interior stuff, like collaborations with Angle Poise and Land Rover and Minis. And, you know, you could buy absolutely all sorts on the Paul Smith website, which is amazing. But, you know, it's really exciting and challenging when it comes to having to build certain features and functionality to facilitate that for the customer.
Right. That just reminded me that I have the Paul Smith Angle Poise.
Like, oh, in the last
I did.
I had not. Great. And then I guess leading on from that, so maybe Ed, I think off the back of a conversation we were having a few weeks ago around kind of trying to not to rebuild something that's kind of built in a certain way with Magento that isn't available in Centra. Do you have any examples? And I guess this is kind of similar to what you were just saying, but do you have any examples of things within the project that you've kind of changed to fit Centra rather than kind of hanging on to how something, you know, been built within Magento?
Yeah, I've got a couple of examples. So as part of the initial Magento headless build, we didn't rebuild the cart and the checkout. That decision was made initially because to try and reduce the overall sort of project timeline. But with hindsight, with a replatform, that was actually a really good decision not to build a fully fledged headless checkout on Magento. I think one of the, I suppose, the checkout flows of Magento, so it will always check your email address to see if you've got an account and then prompt you to log in if you don't have an, if you do have an account. So it recognizes you as a customer and then prompts you to log in. Now, one thing we were noticing when we were reviewing all of the kind of Centra checkouts is nobody was doing that. I think we were on the Nudie Jeans checkout and you put in your email address and they just go, oh, well, if you've got an account, we've recognized you've got an account, we're going to stitch this order to your account. And we're like, oh, right, that's really cool. So we didn't know that like there were some really nice ways that Centra had been designed or built. So in the initial designs, we would like gone down the Magento route of, right, check the email, see if it exists, then present password forms. So going through that whole process made it say, actually, yeah, we probably don't need to be restricted by that existing flow. How can we make the process a lot quicker and smoother for the customer by not prompting them? If they know that the order is going to get attached to their customer ID and they can see it when they log in, then yeah, we don't need to get them to log in. So that was a real nicety. I suppose one of the negatives is that Centra only supports currently one saved address for billing and shipping, whereas Magento, you can have endless. And obviously, I'm guessing there's a lot of historical Paul Smith customers, probably a lot of celebrities in there maybe, that have got some, you know, a whole host of address book forms. So, you know, how do we approach that? And then this kind of decision was made, well, actually, it's okay just to offer them one address form. Just to improve that kind of, I suppose, the slickness of the checkout and make it less overwhelming. So I suppose having been forced to make decisions like that, I think the one thing that Centra have been really good at is if we say to them something like the address book forms of, you know, this, we've got this in Magento, but it doesn't have it in Centra. They add it into their roadmap. And I think that's a real kind of benefit of their product, of the fact that you've got all of these fashion and lifestyle brands all feeding into that one roadmap. So it's a very refined feature request from customers like Paul Smith that want all these different features and functionality. So everything that's getting built is, you know, really focused for fashion and lifestyle. So they've been really sort of open to, okay, we want to be able to do guest wish lists. And they go, well, that's on the roadmap. That's great. That's coming. So there's an open dialogue between agency, brand and platform, which is really refreshing.
Yeah, I think from when I spoke to Centra, that's one thing I really like about them is like there's loads of random kind of nice to have features in there as well, just as a result of the roadmap being driven by fashion brands, and also and the wholesale side as well, I think is like, you know, really clean, very like visual, because they only really serve fashion and lifestyle brands. The other thing I was going to say is I've always hated that lookup with Magento. I think that's the point. It takes about 6 seconds is that on mobile, and then suddenly it'll like drag you back up to enter your password. And I've always preferred how Shopify do it, which is, like you say, just tag the order to the customer ID, and then they'll be able to see it within the account and don't force the login. So last question for me. So Hannah, as I mentioned before, I know you've kind of had in-house teams kind of for a long time in Paul Smith, and, you know, development has been almost entirely done internally. How do you still have internal developers, and how have you found the kind of collaboration side with an agency with LineShop?
I think it was a real big shift for us to get used to. So we had a development team. I think we were about 8 people at peak, and then now we're down to 4 plus project manager. And that hybrid, when I made that crisis call to Ed back in 2020, was a real shift for us. And I think we've sunk into it really nicely. I think the development team that we work with at LimeShop, there's just a lot of respect for each other, lots of honest feedback, all wanting to do the best. So we've kind of split that resource this side into kind of 2 full stack and then 2 kind of junior front ends to kind of support with those kind of ad hoc features. We're in a really good place now. I can kind of call on LimeShop if there's kind of I need to extend that development team, which I've always been quite restricted to in the past of what the skills and timelines were internally. So if I've got a random project and I know it's a third party that Ed's team have worked on before, I can be like, I need this, like Rebound, for example. We can kind of use that experience and kind of extend the development team where we need to. So that's been a really nice change that I'm really happy that we made.
And I guess an open question to both of you is, you know, where's this heading? What's the roadmap looking like? Have you got any like exciting plans or exciting uses of Centra coming up, or is it more just about continuously releasing new capability over the next 12 months plus?
I think from my side, so since I've been in my role, I've been spending the last kind of few years just getting the foundations right. So we were doing this, I feel guilty that I've just been saying code freeze internally for feels like forever, that we're doing this big headless move and trying to squeeze in some nice new features at the same time, but it's kind of like hold fire, it's coming, and then now it's this replatform again saying code freeze internally. So I'm really looking forward to really getting into what LimeShop does really well, which is the kind of pushing the experience side. And you know, we're so lucky that we've got a great brand. Like Paul is a real person, he gets out there. We've got beautiful shops, and from the start, like Ed said, it was all about that digital flagship. So more of that in-store experience online. So I'm really looking forward to getting into that and then using those features that I said at the very beginning of why we chose Centra. So myself and Ed went to one of the nudie stores, didn't we, last week, and seeing how they're using that omnichannel piece and using the stores as hubs. I'm really looking forward into those like more sustainable couriers that we can use across Europe and the US and London, and utilizing that shop stock for when the warehouse kind of is low in stock. I'm so excited to just, once my foundations are done, that I can actually start playing with them and growing and concentrating on that side.
So I've got one more question, actually. I'll restyle that. I know that you both said about having been in Magento world, and then there's a mindset shift whenever you move to a different technology system and stack, and it's inevitable. I'd love to just get some parting thoughts from people, some advice. If other people are considering like move to a platform like Centra, you talked about that mindset shift. What should people be thinking about? Like what do they need to really understand in terms of the different approach in a project like this? Maybe this is one for you, Ed, from the replatforming perspective. And then maybe we'll come back to you, Hannah, after, from the commercial and operational perspective.
Yeah, so I'll probably start with the benefits, and I think that this kind of goes back to the question before to Hannah around kind of new features and the functionality. As we've had this really nice hybrid relationship with Paul Smith, where they have an in-house technical team, they have technical resource. We don't get burdened with any bugs, upgrades, any of the kind of, I suppose, the problems on the site that might restrict us from pushing forward. So the relationship that we have with Paul Smith is very much how can we make customer-facing improvements? And I think that is a real benefit of a way of working. And we really enjoyed being able to see how much we can actually get through in terms of front-end and front-end components and nice features. And I think, you know, this shift away from a more kind of monolith platform where Paul Smith are hosting that website. They're doing a lot of kind of platform upgrades. So X amount of hours goes into that. Just shifting that off of the plate and able to spend those hours or reallocate that resource to be doing like integrations with third parties or really nice customer facing improvements. Like I keep talking about that, but one of the really nice things that we were able to sort of design and build was as part of the kind of discovery on the project, we went down to the Floral Street store, which is synonymous for its kind of suiting and formal wear. And just speaking to the store staff there and understanding like what questions that customers have. One of them said, oh, we'll never let a Paul Smith customer leave the store with the wrong suit for them. Because, especially as a guy going in, I don't wear that many suits. Going, you feel quite shy or new to it. Might be for a wedding or something quite formal, and you immediately debt. Okay, well, what's the occasion? What's your kind of style? What do you feel confident in? What sort of fit do you prefer to wear? So we really kind of harnessed that those questions and turned it into like a suit finder online, which is essentially a set of conversational filters, which is like presented to the customer with products and just saying, what's the occasion? Is it for a wedding? You buying it for yourself? What sort of fit do you like? What's your kind of budget? And just like going through those like nice conversational questions with the customer and then presenting product to them, like having the time and resource to be able to do projects like that. On the roadmap, we've got some really nice things around suiting. And I suppose just getting rid of a lot of the sort of, mundane upgrade, that huge backlog, and actually focusing on what matters is a huge improvement and a great shift. From a mentality perspective of moving from a really, really, like Magento is so flexible. You can bend it however you want. So there's definitely some challenges in thinking, okay, well, we can't currently deploy into the central code base. It's not possible. So if you want to build features or functionality that requires API interaction, you have to create your own microservices. You have to create your own middleware and go down that approach, which we have in place for Paul Smith as part of the architecture, where some of the front end functionality might be handled from a different API rather than Centra. I think one of the other not necessarily negatives, but shift in thinking is things like category management. So in Magento, you have fields to be able to upload multiple images for your category headers. Whereas in Centra, a category is just treated essentially like a tag. So, how can we create those really nice, unique product listing landing pages and create unique headers for it? And actually, that's content. So when you start speaking to Centra about it, they say, well, hold on a second, that's not e-commerce, that's content. You should be doing that in the CMS. So we pick up the conversation with Storyblock and say, okay, well, we've got these categories in Centra. Every time it actually gets created there, let's create it in Centra via the API. And then we can have the ability for the Paul Smith content team to be able to add their content into Storyblock. So I think, that shift of e-commerce and content and promotions and customer and everything getting done in one platform to splitting out and really using the products for what they've been designed for, what they're good at. Storyblock's amazing for content. I think Hannah's team will eventually go, it's great. We don't really log into Centra because we're a content team. We're doing pretty much everything in in Storyblock, and I think that's the main sort of shift of thinking for us.
Yeah, that's interesting. It makes sense, doesn't it? It's for too long people have tried to bend e-commerce systems to do multiple things, and you end up creating a bit of a monster. And so Hannah, I mean, does your experience just echo what Ed's saying, or have you got any other different perspectives from an operational point of view about, you know, any mindset shift?
I think for me, like, it's quite simple. It's customer focused. I want to keep customers happy, and I want to make more revenue for the brand so we can keep doing nice things. So I want to be able to concentrate on what delivers to a customer. I want to give sustainable delivery options. I want to give, just as Ed described, a really amazing experience of buying a suit online, because we have amazing suits. And I think currently we're not portraying that on the old site, whereas now we're really starting to get out there and telling the world that this is the digital flagship. This is where you should come if you want to buy a suit. So yeah, completely echo what Ed said. And I think the developers now have just got their hands on a different way of thinking and getting that across.
Excellent. Well, we've gone through all the questions you wanted to ask. I mean, we could ask hundreds more, but I know that you both have busy day jobs to get back to. So really appreciate you both taking the time. I've really enjoyed it. Actually, Centre is a platform that I've got a lot of interest in as well. And I think they're going to be taking more market share away from other SaaS platforms in the UK over the next few years. So interesting to hear your perspectives on technically and operationally on the decision behind it. And thanks everyone for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it as well. Keep an ear open for our next episode. We drop one every Tuesday. Do remember to give us that rating on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever else you're listening. It really does help with our visibility and helps us keep this podcast going. Take care, everybody. For more information on this topic, head over to replatform.fm for our audio podcasts. To discuss a project, or if you'd like to chat about any of the topics covered in this episode in more detail, please reach out to myself, James Gird, or my co-host, Paul Rogers, via LinkedIn and Twitter. Thanks again for listening, and keep your ears peeled for the next episode.